and I came here for the first time and tasted, and I was just blown away that something so small and magical existed, because every other place that I worked at had been this big and industrial winery with all this massive equipment, and to see something so humble and so small like this, it really was a breath of fresh air.
And welcome to Sip with Nikki. I'm your host, Nikki Lamberti, coming to you from Sonoma County, California. And if you're listening to this on the day it released, which is Monday, December 16th, it is the last day for shipping my beautiful Solovato Sangiovese across the country in time for the holidays. Visit solovatowines.com and make sure you use the discount code PODLISTENER, and I'll give you 10% off your purchase of this beautiful 2021 Sangiovese. So if you listened to last week's episode, we dove into all things Zinfandel. If you haven't listened, I hope that you do, because this week we're building upon some of the foundation that I gave you about this misunderstood and I think underappreciated grape of Zinfandel. And we're doing that in a live tasting that I recorded. So in previous episodes, you have probably heard me talk about Tres Sabores Winery, which is in St. Helena in the Napa Valley. That's where Michael and I make our wine as a custom crush. We use space there. And Julie Johnson, who is the owner and the winemaker, is a mentor of mine. Her husband, John Engelskerger, or John Evino as we call him, is a wonderful winemaker, as is Miguel Garcia, their assistant winemaker. Tres Sabores translates into the three tastes or the three flavors. And it was founded in 1999 by Julie. And one of the things that's very unique about this property is that they are a certified organic grower of not only Zinfandel, but Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Syrah, Petit Verdot. But she also grows pomegranates, Meyer lemons, olives. They make olive oil. They have animals there. It's just a secret, special place that I'm partially excited to share with you and partially want to keep to myself because it's such a special and magical place to visit. Tres Sabores Winery is one of the first wineries I visited with my mom on the very first trip out here. And I've been in their wine club for years and years, as well as now making my wine there. But one of the things that drew me to them right away, besides just being very special people and a very small organic boutique winery, is they specialize in Zinfandel. And I had some dear friends of mine in town visiting last weekend. I had English Anne from Orlando. You'll hear her fantastic accent, as well as my good friends Joan and Erica from Nashville. And we were doing some wine tasting. And of course, we went to Tres Sabores. Jim Olmos, shout out to Jim, making his podcast debut. He was our wonderful wine educator. And I recorded a part of our tasting, especially the parts that focused on, you guessed it, Zinfandel. And the cool thing about this tasting is that we experienced this grape in four different expressions. What does that mean? I'll give you a hint. In the pink expression, in the red expression, in the aged expression, and also as a blend. So I thought it would be fun to record as we tasted and hear some of the reactions, hear Jim's wonderful storytelling and descriptions of the wines. And I wanted to absolutely highlight this fantastic and very special winery that has been a really integral part of my wine journey. Some of the beautiful sounds of Tres Sabores that you'll hear our mics captured as we were sitting by this beautiful fountain waterfall in the background, if you're wondering what that is. And just setting the scene a little bit, we were sitting at a round table, literally overlooking the vineyard and their property on a beautiful 60-degree sunny afternoon. At one point, you can hear the Napa Valley wine train chugging by, not too far in the distance. And if you really listen, you'll hear the bleating of sheep and goats, chickens and guinea hens, all of which they raise there on the property. You'll hear us talk about the famous golden retrievers, and it's not unusual to be tasting with a dog sitting at your feet. So if you're dog lovers, that is also part of the special charm of this place, and I hope that you get to visit sometime soon. So here we go with Zinfandel Four Ways. right, so this is the Ingrid and Julia rosé.
I love this one. We've had. You always think that rosés are going to be sweet.
Why does your voice go low when you say sweet? Because you're saying it with judgment.
Sweet. Yes. So I've conveyed that I clearly don't like sweet.
Yes, you did. In the intonation of your voice. Like no, you're right. Yeah. Really yeah. Back in the day, you would call this white Zinfandel.
Yes.
This is rosé from the Zinfandel grape.
Which why does it, technically, why does it change its name?
Because rosé is sexier, yes, and gets away from the white Zinfandel stigma,
yes,
of sweet of pink sweet wine, pink which wine. This is not. But it's made from the red Zinfandel. Yeah. What beautiful weather we got today. It's probably
the same
high 60s, right? I do love how he said, this is great because the acidity gets you excited for food.
I know. We don't read that.
Don't need to be any more excited than I already am for food. I'm Jim. You ready?
Yeah, totally.
Nick, you are alive.
You're alive.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, you did it.
Okay, since the girls have not, you guys have not met him before, right?
No.
No.
Give me your story. How long had you been here? How did you wind up here? All the good stuff.
I grew up in St. Helena, so just right up the road. Born and raised. My family has been here for quite some time. So my grandparents first moved out here back in the early 1950s from Mexico. So this is during the Braceros program. Both my grandparents came from a long line of farmers, worked in ag in Mexico and just loved it. And my grandmother actually seized the opportunity to come out here first and foremost was actually in Chicago. From Chicago, moved out here to Napa, and then my grandfather followed. And the kids just trickled in. So I have 5 aunts and 5 uncles, so a really big family. And they all here, all got involved in wine and are in the wine industry. And growing up out here, I never really saw myself in wine. It wasn't until a little bit later on that I decided that I wanted to pursue wine and pinpointed the moment when I graduated from high school back in 2015. I took some time off from everything and actually lived in Mexico for about a year and a half. And I remember after spending over a year in Mexico that I started getting a little homesick. And my grandparents' house was open and available, and my uncles had all this Napa wine just hanging out in the house.
He says with a huge smile that comes across his face when he says it.
So I found all this wine and I remember just feeling like I really missed home and I had been away for so long, and I opened up a bottle and I drank it, and that was the first moment where I was like, wow, this reminds me of home. This tastes like home. And I wanted to come back and get involved, and I did everything that I possibly could. I did my first harvest at Artesa. Yeah, back in 20...
I think you guys have been to Artesa, yeah.
2017 was my first harvest that I worked. And I loved it. I snowballed and haven't stopped ever since.
What do you remember what that wine was that you drank that made you homesick?
Funny enough, it was an Opus.
Uh-huh.
And if my uncles knew that...
That's not funny.
I think it was like a 2009 or 2010 Opus. My uncle Juan and my uncle Alex had both been working there for a very long time. So my uncle Juan was one of their vineyard managers there for I think like 15 years. My uncle Alex is still there and he's the cellar lead for Opus.
Nice.
Yeah.
When did you start here?
Back in 21.
Okay.
It'll actually be my 3-year anniversary in February.
Awesome. And how did you find Tres Boys? Did you visit as a guest first?
No, so I have 2 golden retrievers. And I was working at Sag Sleep Winery. My old hospitality manager also used to work at Disneyland. And he was actually the hospitality manager for Club 33.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his colleagues actually put me on a truss of doors and said, your dogs are adorable, but there's a winery that has all these golden retrievers running around. You should go and taste there. It's called Truss of Boars. And I was like, oh, might be worth checking out. So I remember coming up here one day, and it was actually me and my brother and my uncle Jerry, and I came here for the first time and tasted, and I was just blown away that something so small and magical existed, because every other place that I worked at had been this big and industrial winery with all this massive equipment, and to see something so humble and so small like this, it really was a breath of fresh air. So it wasn't until later on that after I've been working at Stag Sleep for about 4 years that I was wanting to look into something a little bit smaller, kind of take a step back and work at a place that was a little smaller, and funny enough, I saw that they had posted a job opening on winejobs.com.
That's not funny. That's fate.
Yeah.
That's the universe doing a thing.
Yeah. So I put in my application on Saturday, and I literally got an email back on Sunday. And I remember I was just so filled with joy that I had gotten a response so quickly and came in to do an interview on that Monday, and I got the job.
So coming up on 3 years, mm-hmm. and so Jim also has aspirations of making wine, right? I mean, he's been around production, but we've been talking, mm-hmm. especially over the last year, about like the program at Davis, and he's about ready to do your own thing. Like, what's the update there?
So I think I'm gonna go for it.
Okay.
So yeah, the plan is to similarly like you is I love hospitality, love doing this. I still want to be involved, but have it as my side passion project. Start off small. I can see myself and envision myself in the next 3 years, probably buying some grapes and doing something for my label, because I've already got a couple of names drawn out. Yeah, probably we'll start to experiment as of next year a little bit, but it won't be like something for official.
No. Don't pay for the grapes yet
when
you're experimenting.
No.
That's exciting. I'm excited for you. What do you feel a pull to want to make?
I really want to make Albariño. That's something that I really want to make. So just, you know, Albariño is one of the first white wines that kind of really blew my mind in terms of being very complex, but also very approachable and easy to pair with a lot of different kinds of food. And my family's roots is originally from Europe, so from Spain, so from the Martina side of the family. So paying an homage to that side of the family.
Kind of like me with Sangiovese.
Yeah.
Got to make the grape of our ancestors.
Yeah.
Right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So now there are how many resident golden retrievers here at the moment?
There are three. So there's Kava, who's our oldest. She's now 9 years old. There's Bria and there's Barry. So he's a pup. He's just 6, 7 months old now. Yeah. I'll have to bring him out to say hello. Yeah.
And we knew
Moose. Yeah.
The patriarch of the Goldens, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Of course.
There's actually pieces in there that I had never heard. That's the benefit of actually doing it formally.
Alrighty, so Thinking Cap White. So this is the 2023. So as you guys probably are familiar with this wine, it's a wine that changes every year. So that's where the Thinking Cap name came from, is Julia and John's aspiration to make something new and exciting every year. This is actually one of my favorite blends that we've made as of the past few years. It's a blend of 5 different white grape varieties that we source from the Sierra Foothills. So these are all Southern Rhone native grapes, definitely considered more of a white Rhone blend. So the base of this wine is a great variety called Petit Mensang, but there's also a little bit of Picpoul Blanc in this, some Roussanne, some Grenache Blanc, and a little bit of Claret Blanc. Really aromatic on the nose. I get a lot of that floral kind of honeysuckle, orange blossom, nice and bone dry, just like the rosé, but super food friendly. I would definitely say much more of a wine you want to pair with lighter food. So like seafood, bay scallops, oysters on the half shell, crab, lobster.
I feel like so many people are not familiar with any of those 5 grapes that you just listed. And they're like, what? Are they like, what?
Yeah, definitely.
It's so fun and unique. This is not something that you see this lineup of grapes here. Hold on, lady with the glorious accent. If you're going to read the side of the bottle, go ahead.
Okay. Like a breezy stroll along a bayside pathway, morning sun on the back.
That's specific.
Yes.
Is that Julie's writing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like a haiku, no?
Yes. I just love that as long as I've been coming here, which is almost 18 years, the things that I love that I don't ever want to go away, like the Zinfandel, the Porqué No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But this tiny little portfolio still evolves and has new things like Thinking Cap, like Saint Laurent, like Cab Franc, a recent
Barbera.
Edition.
Yes.
Barbera.
I saw there was a Cab Franc.
Petit Tira. That's been here as long as I've been coming here. So it's fun to see there's the staples and then there's the fun experimentation of, hey, we have access to this vineyard. Let's try these grapes this year, right? I just remember when my mom and I came here first visit. From Orlando. And I don't think I had Zinfandel. I knew white Zinfandel like we were talking about with the rosé. Pretty sure this was the first time experiencing like true Zinfandel in its beautiful red, juicy form.
I didn't know that Zinfandel was red.
Yeah, I think a lot of people still don't, which is why I did a whole podcast episode about it.
So when I say I'm taking Zinfandel somewhere, they're like,
oh no, we'd prefer to have red. Well, it is.
Yeah, but we don't call it red Zinfandel because the red is implied.
Right, right.
And we shouldn't even call it white Zinfandel because it's not white, it's pink. Yeah. So again, all these perceptions that people have about wine are not helped by the way that we label things and call things. Like, right. We make it confusing. And now, a word from our sponsor. AmericanOliveFarmer.com is a business and a website owned and operated by my friend Liz Tagami and her husband Donald. They live up in Corning, California, and I recently had Liz on the podcast where we got to taste some of her delicious olive oils, both the Arbequina and Ascolano varieties, and they're grown and made right here in California. Well, the oils were really just the tip of the iceberg, because if you check out her website, you'll see that they import gorgeous balsamic vinegar from Modena. In fact, one of them uses three of my favorite Italian wine grapes as the base of the vinegar: Trebbiano, Lambrusco, and Sangiovese. I can't say that without singing. And while on their website, if you sign up to stay in touch, you'll receive their newsletter and you'll get the fantastic recipes that Liz and Donald have created using their beautiful products. I'm so excited to introduce all of you to American Olive Farmer, and Liz has kindly created a discount code for our listeners. Use the code SIPWITHNIKKI, capital S, capital W, and capital N, SIPWITHNIKKI, for $10 off your order, and that can be anything from the site, whether it's delicious olive oils, vinegars, or even gifts. I mean, you can send someone an olive tree as a gift. How cool is that? Check out AmericanOliveFarmer.com and support this fantastic, small, California-based, woman-led business. You can even set up an olive oil subscription. Go, check it out. You're welcome. And now, back to our show. Right?
Yeah.
What do you have there, Jim?
So this is the 2022, so we just released this. So Zinfandel is very important to our property. It's a very old vineyard. It was planted in 1970, back when this vineyard was planted. Funny enough, it was the most planted grape in all of Napa.
Before Cab took over.
Before
the bully Cabernet was like, no, it's going to be me.
Yeah. Zinfandel, now from my experience working here, I've come to know that it is a pain in the rear to grow because it does have very uneven ripening patterns. So as a result of that, what Julie will do in a given season is pick anywhere from 10 to upwards of 13, 14 different times in a single growing season on a 6-acre block down at the base of the property. So that's pick everything off at proper sugar levels, phenolically speaking, making sure everything's in check. It's all micro picks, and what's really unique about this property, it's all done by hand, but we do everything in bins, so everything's bin fermented. So just that extra layer of attention to detail and every aspect of what goes into this wine. But this is a little bit of a lighter Zin compared to other vintages that we've done. This is only 13.9% alcohol. Pretty nice and light for Zinfandel.
That is for Zinfandel. Yeah. That's very conservative.
So stereotypical California Zin is known to be 15, 16% mm-hmm. easy. Those big, juicy, jammy Zins from like Lodi and Paso Robles. This is everything but that. This has got a lot of hibiscus tea on the nose, a little bit of rose petal. I get this like really nice, like almost roasted marshmallow characteristic, but just got that beautiful fresh fruit on the palate. So like plum and blackberry, a little bit of pomegranate and cranberry. Tannins are really nice and soft, really nice smooth finish. Super drinkable now, but I always tell my guests, this is a wine that if you like holding on to wines for special occasions, you can hold this for the next 10, 15 years easy.
Yes. Even just the smell of this makes me, I know you're gonna be surprised, emotional when I smell it, like very goosebumpy because this wine smells and tastes of this place.
Yeah.
And of these people. I don't know how else to even describe it. It's very unique. It is very specific to here. And then it's just, it's this place in a glass. What's your favorite food pairing with this?
Something super simple, just like a nice red bolognese sauce pasta.
Approved.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun with red sauce. It's,
I could drink this with something Asian, like.
Yeah.
Especially this vintage, because it is a little bit lighter.
A little lighter. Yeah.
It's still a rich red wine, rich and fruity and spicy, but more locally, if you were going to Farmstead down the road for dinner tonight, think of the Farmstead menu.
I've
as
never
a
been, funny
native.
Enough. Never been.
What?
Never been.
You are born and raised in the town. James. I'm going to call you James because you're in trouble. Are you actually James?
Jaime.
Yeah. Jaime. You've never been to Farmstead?
Never been.
Would you like to come with us tonight?
Possibly, yeah.
You should come with us.
Yeah. We've seen many times.
Yeah.
A week ago.
Yeah.
And he spotted Ray's at St. Helena. Well, we may have to bring you and some of the Zinfandel to Farm Bill tonight. Yes, and I'm thinking the meatball app. I'm thinking the burger, the ribs.
As you can tell, we're all vegetarian.
Yeah. Total carnivores here.
Actually, let me go grab something fun for you guys to try. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay.
Pulled something out from the library. So this is a 2013 Estate Zin.
Stop it. Wow. I hope you brought a glass for yourself, please.
I'll go grab
one. And a chair.
Yeah.
I'll give you a chair.
Thanks.
2013.
What?
I actually just tasted this the other day, and I tasted it again right now when I Corbin it. It is phenomenal. So it goes back to what you were saying is, the Zin smells and tastes of this place, but when my experience holding on to older wines is, it helps me revisit things that I remember, certain memories and experience.
It's a time capsule.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
2013, were you even born yet?
You said you graduated high school in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were like a teen.
I was a kid, yeah.
While you were having your nappies changed, you were making it worthwhile.
Right. Wow.
I probably got into my parents' wine way before I was supposed to. So
that's a good thing. That's what you do when you live here and you're surrounded by it, right?
Yeah.
Look at how it probably influenced your career.
Yeah.
But thank you for pulling this one.
Oh my God.
So for an 11-year-old wine, it is surprisingly holding on to its freshness very well.
He even brought us extra sexy glasses. Look at the color, though. The color is different.
Definitely browner.
Mm-hmm.
Your mouth is watering.
Your mouth is watering. Oh my gosh, Jim, what a treat.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we're going from
22 to 2013.
Wow.
The train agrees.
Yes. Yeah, get that in.
Yeah. I just want to smell this all day.
Completely different nose. Yeah. Almost more candied is the word that comes to my mind in a positive way. And that's, I just haven't even tasted it yet.
Oh, there's like this like really nice like cherry cola kind of thing going
cherry
on.
Cola, cherry cordial, very cherry. It's just sliding across the sides of my palate with
bunches.
Yeah.
Peppery. Yeah.
Totally different. Wow.
Much smoother.
Yes.
It's still got some life in it for 11 years.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. It's yummy.
Yummy!
Yeah.
This is really special to taste this.
This is...
Get a glass.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab one.
Thank you. Of course. For a few moments. This deserves, like, seated...
So you don't fall
focused.
Over.
Focused.
Yeah.
I mean, they all do, right? They all deserve that respect.
Who cares about odors?
Yeah.
Cheers, friends. Thanks for having us today.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. One of the trademark things I always get in Julie's Zinfandels is a little bit of almost dried rose petal.
Mm.
Just very subtly. And it still keeps it 11 years
even
later.
With the age.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys for coming.
Okay, tell us who just came and interrupted.
Kava.
It's Kava.
Yeah, so she just had her birthday. She's 9 now.
Hi, Kavi.
She's fifth generation in the blood lineage. So Barry, the new puppy that we just got, he's the sixth generation in the blood lineage. Sweet girl. Wouldn't be able to do my job without her.
Mm-hmm. You still have your two goldens?
Yeah.
So you just feel like you're at home with these guys?
Yeah.
I remember when I came here with my mom the first time we had a driver. And we got out of the car, much like where we parked today.
Mm-hmm.
And we started walking down this stone pathway. Even the sound of this is so Tres Arbores, right? And Moose, big golden, came and greeted us at the car. And we were like, this is amazing. We were done for. Like, I tell everyone they have to come here. Like you said, it's just special. Unexpected.
It's a magical place. Yeah.
It is magical.
It really is.
And we really like that word. We like use that word a lot.
True.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Done.
I don't age my Tres Arbores. I don't, in my wine fridge, have any that I'm sitting on.
I
because I drink it so quickly.
Yeah.
I drink it so quickly. I need to build a little library. This is a good reminder for me.
I think I only have 5 bottles myself.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to have some Porcano.
So we've Porcano? The 2022.
Two. So this is the newest release. So the past 2-3 vintages have all been more petite Syrah dominant. So this is the first vintage in that sequence that it's gone back to being more Zinfandel dominant.
Oh, okay. My snitch.
Yay, this is fun. What always stuck with me besides the wine itself was the back label on Porcano. Does anybody want to read it?
Well, even the first line, why not make a rich and spicy blend, we asked ourselves.
Porcano.
Porcano.
Why not?
Zinfandel, 45%, Petit Syrah, 30, Cabernet Sauvignon, 24, and Petit Verdot, 1% grapes. Build flavor and complexity all summer. Once they're harvest day, we throw them a private party in our cellar. And we're here to tell you they have a great time. The result is before you, a zesty, fruity, really tasty wine. Wine you will love with anything or anyone you love. Have a great wine, we'll party, we say.
Amen. That was also inspiration for me on how to write a back label by Julie, right? Yes. Like, how fun. I remember reading that for the first time. I was like, this is so cool. She just throws them all together.
And this is the first one I remember from here.
Yeah.
What would you pair this with?
Oh, my God. Pizza is my go-to, really. So many red wines can go with pizza. Now, it depends on what's on the pizza, right? But we do this a lot with Michael's Mexican cooking. Whether it's his tacos, queso, enchiladas, brisket.
Mashed burgers, yeah.
We had those mashed burgers
last week.
Yeah. Just,
yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I'm trying to come up with a non-carnivorous answer, but it's a lot of... A cheese board, yeah.
I actually had it with, like, curry that we've made.
We have had it with it,
yeah.
The Thai's chicken curry.
Yeah.
The goat cheese.
It's a great price point. It always has been.
It's a great price point.
Yeah. Right. What does it retail? 40?
36.
42? Oh, I think it's gone. Wine Club gets it for less. I think in the 15 years I've been drinking this wine, it went from about $35 a bottle to 42, which is pretty amazing in the world that we live in with the cost of doing business. Right. Yeah. Everyone that I bring here or send here is always... enamored, of course, with the place and the magic that we talk about here, and this view, the dogs, the people.
No.
The price point of these wines for what they are is so rare in the place where we are sitting.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Next year's going to be much higher after the podcast comes out.
I've been trying to nail down, and now that harvest is over, once we get through the holidays, I'm going to sit down with Julie and John and interview them.
That'd be awesome.
That's happening. We just haven't coordinated our crazy schedules yet, but it will happen.
It will definitely happen.
Yeah. And it's going to be 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I hope, if I get my wish. Thank you for sharing these beautiful ones with us. Thank you for being such a good sport.
Of course. A little nervous for being my first podcast recording.
You're so great. You're a natural. So if you're wondering, did we take Jim with us to Farmstead? We absolutely did. And we had a killer meal. And guess what? We brought along some of the 2013 Zinfandel and the pairings with Farmstead's deviled eggs, meatballs, ribs, and mac and cheese. Ridiculous. So shout out again to Jim. Thank you so much for a wonderful tasting and for your company at dinner. If you are planning a visit to the Napa Valley anytime soon, you must have not only Tres Sabores Winery on your list, but Farmstead Restaurant as well. And I will put the link in the show notes for both of them. Hopefully you have a better understanding, curiosity, appreciation of the Zinfandel grape and all that it can be. And I encourage you to order some, whether it's the rosé or the beautiful, juicy red Zinfandel or one of my favorite blends on the planet, Porcano. Why not?
As always, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review if you're enjoying the podcast. And if you're really enjoying it, did you know that you can be a supporter and you can buy me a glass of wine using the support the podcast link in the show notes. Go get some Zinfandel, book your trip to the Napa Valley, make your tasting appointment at Tres Sabores, and whatever you do between now and those things, I hope that you sip well.